John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. We continue from where we stopped yesterday night. Don't forget, we're looking at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost or the outpouring of the Spirit. You had a great session yesterday night?
Yes, sir.
So we looked at being born again, right? What does it mean? Alright, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish or will not perish, but have eternal life. Some versions call it everlasting life. That's exactly what it is. We'll have eternal life. And that, is that you?
Yes,
you believe it?
Yes,
so you have eternal life. You not sure?
I'm sure.
I told you yesterday, I said, God means what he says, and he says what he means. Amen. He says what he means. So if he says you have eternal life, you have it. You know, some people are still busy. They are busy arguing this. Is it eternal life? Or if you do something, I'm not saying you do anything anyhow. Is he actually eternal life? Can a man just be saved forever like that? Amen. You know, you have no business arguing with people. So don't do it. I don't do it. I don't have that much time in my life to argue on Facebook especially. Or Twitter. I don't have that time. Hallelujah. The worst thing that will happen is that the person that has eternal life, we eventually find out that he has eternal life. Right? Is that not the worst that will happen? Worst case scenario. Oh, you now say, oh, I had eternal life. So why are you arguing? Go and meet the people that don't have eternal life. Amen. I've got eternal life.
I've got eternal life.
So it says, whosoever believes has eternal life. Of course, yesterday we were able to deal with some set of people. The pronouns. Amen. He, she, ze, me. Why would you say God? God is. No, how can someone look at John 3:16 and your only problem is he gave his only begotten son? Why will God be is? Or God, your problem is more too. Is it the situation of Nigeria that affected you like this? He said, God cannot be is. Someone messaged me one time from, is it Ghana now? One of our neighboring countries. I can't remember. I don't put that kind of details in my mind. He said that the Bible is a bit patriarchal. Now, patriarchal means biased towards the male gender. The Bible is sexist. That women were not given a voice. And I remember we taught it already in the church and ministry gift, right? Where we looked at the role of women in the church of Christ. So I told him, I said, for the time the Bible was written, is one of the most pro-feminist books you can find. For the time it was written. Because as at the time it was written, women were being silenced. Women didn't have a voice. Culturally, traditionally, in the society. Then he came up with this verse that Paul said women should wear a veil, should cover their face, cover their hair. I said, you're funny. Because under the Roman law, women were asked to expose their hair to be sexually attractive to the male. Almost like a display for male attention. The only way you are excused is if you are a widow or you're married. Right? So if you're a widow or you're married, you cover your hair. But if you're single, the government says, it's like saying, wear mini skirts. Expose yourself. That's what the government says. Then Paul comes to the church and says, women, even if you are single, you have the same honor as a married woman. So cover it. You don't have to expose yourself. Not, at least not here. So when I explain all of that context, you can look at me. Are you not saying that women were given rights in the Bible? I said, who saw Jesus first? Amen. And I bashed them yesterday night. Amen. That's the way we'll be doing. You know, who saw Jesus first? At that time, the witness of a woman holds no weight. As at that time, if a woman tells you that this happened, nobody believes. But Jesus showed himself to women. Hallelujah. So, I don't know. John 3:16 should not be leading to all this nonsense. Amen. We are such in an age. So he says, whosoever believes in him will not perish. So I will never perish. But have eternal life. So we said the conversation that led to this is very interesting, because the conversation started in verse 1. John 3:1. With a man called Nicodemus. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Intentionally called him a ruler of the Jews because of what Jesus was going to say later. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Teacher, we know you are a teacher come from God. Or Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, the same thing. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's take a look at the person we are dealing with. Let's look at the background. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Now, what did Jesus say about Pharisees? Look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Don't forget where we stopped yesterday night. We looked at that phrase, born again. And we said, quite a number of people do not even know what it means, including Nicodemus. And Jesus had to explain to Nicodemus what it means to be born again. And we said it means to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, I've heard quite a number of explanations about water there. Someone said it's amniotic fluid. That when a woman wants to give birth, water will come out. That's what it means, that born of water. I said, ah. Don't throw it along. When people are talking, just try and be keeping quiet. Now, I've told you before that if you keep quiet, you save yourself embarrassment. Amen. You know, if you keep quiet, people don't know whether you are foolish or you are wise. But if you talk, you can take away the doubts. Hallelujah. Selah. Matthew 23, verse 5. But all their works. Now he's talking about the Pharisees. That's on verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not go after their works, for they say and they don't do it. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad in their appearance. They enlarge their borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost room at the feasts, the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called teacher, teacher. So Jesus is bashing the Pharisees here. But there's a Pharisee that came to him. Nicodemus. Go back to John 3. And this man wanted to learn. And that's the first thing about discipleship. Even though he came at night, but we'll talk about that one later. But he came around. Amen. He came to learn. And eventually, it paid off. Because in John 19, Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea were the two that now took Jesus' body to the grave, to the tomb. Nicodemus, John 19. You find that in verse 38 and 40. So he is now a disciple. But all of that happened because he attended a meeting. Sometimes you don't know what meetings do to you. I told you, I gave you a gist for those who were in church of how my teaching ministry started some years ago, just like some days ago. And the funny thing is that some of you probably did it when you were younger, probably in teens church. Now some years ago now. You had this crew, this music crew. You know what I'm talking about? So I belonged to one. I started one actually. So it was in that denomination now. We had people from Sele, from Redeem, from Deeper Life. Actually from almost every major denomination, major belief. So we used to sing together. We used to go and play. We sang at Redemption Camp at the time. I personally led worship at the youth camp. No, all of that. So one of these days we had rehearsals. You know how it is. So we had rehearsals. We went to one church. It was a Saturday. And they had a meeting. Someone was teaching them, all these youths church. And we were waiting outside, just finish up. Let's set up our own sound, bass, guitar, you understand? Sound check, let's take our rehearsals to the next level. And we are just, you know how it is now, people now start gisting outside, some people talking about football and all of that. And I was just listening to the man from outside. He said, some of these things this man said, I don't know it all. And I was the lead in our own, I was the one I used to teach. And I have taught many things. Amen. Alhamdulillah. I have taught many things. Many things that, when I went back to them and I started teaching them, they said, this one, are you sure? You know, that really embarrassed me. So I told myself, I'm not going to pastor till I am sure about what I'm saying. And I didn't. Amen. Because one of them just came to me after that and he said, this one, are you sure? The way you said that one was convincingly. I wrote it down. I taught my father. So all my cousins, they know that one that you taught that time. Amen. You know, that time you used to teach, if you are born again, you can never be sick. How can you say you can never be sick? How can you say you can never be sick? Abba. Unkbaro. Yeah, you say, you can never be sick. I can never be sick. I can never be poor. I can never be poor, but Gary has blinded the eyes of your understanding. You know, Gary can blind the eyes of understanding. The blessed of my eyes, they see the glory of God. So I left my guys outside. So I went in and I sat down. I didn't have a Bible because we didn't come to do any Bible related stuff. Amen. He came to sing. So the usher gave me a Bible. I started writing. And that was the genesis of my hunger for God's word. But just imagine that meeting. I just took it. Let them finish, Jerry. Years later, the same pastor that was teaching, that was 2020, he had a meeting, wanted me to come and teach. Hallelujah. But the pandemic happened and all that, so I was not able to go to Ibadan. And when I got the letter, I said, Jesus, this is what you can do. Amen. The person that was teaching that year. Hallelujah. So don't miss meetings. God has something for you. Listen. Pay attention. God has something to say. Amen. Alright, so where are we? John 3, right? So the conversation started. Jesus said, you have to be born again. You know, Nicodemus started hyping him. You are a teacher from God. All these miracles. Emojis. When I hear you, when I listen to you, my spirit goes gim. My heart goes bi. One stupid boy when I was in Jesus 3, that was why he was telling a girl. I was the one that used to preach in fellowship. But sometimes I give people toasting tips. Amen. You know, toasting tips. It was Coast College. So, yeah, when I see you, my heart do bi. So my sister and my friend Gabe, we were listening to him. He said, you know what this class is, that you are demarcated by wood. So you can put your ear like, when I see you, my heart do bi. He said, what, you have a heart attack? Said no, my, like, I just don't know what to say. I don't know. He said, are you asthmatic? So we just banged the wood. Shut up, John. You are disgracing us. Hallelujah. So Nicodemus came and started hyping Jesus. I've never seen someone teach like this. Jesus was not moved. He wasn't moved by the title of Nicodemus. You know, sometimes you meet some people on outreach and you assume they are born again. He went straight for the jugular. You must be born again. You must be born again. So don't allow people's praise get to your head. Be graceful in your response. Be graceful in your approach. But don't allow it to get into your head. The same people that said, you are the Lord of all everything, they said crucify him. You've got to be careful. Bro Hagen said, those who God uses, one thing that is common about them is that they stay away from the center stage. I believe that. Said they stay away from the limelight. Don't allow people's praise get into your head. Keep your focus. Is that clear? Alright. They say you are a teacher, a worker of miracle. You are from God. All of these are right. But are you born again? So verse 3, except a man be born again, we said, is the word genao anothen. Right? Again, don't let Greek words bamboozle you. But I've told you, I said something yesterday, I said, language is part of study. The moment you have any piece of literature, you have to understand the language. The only reason why you are still sitting here right now is because you understand what I'm saying. The moment I go, John elapesua epasa, emi akwatiye epuala datiya kata aponeniya taye ekuradiya katiye setea alua ya Jesus. What will you write? Jesus. He said Jesus. He said Jesus. I heard Jesus now. I was say eternal life. He said Jesus has eternal life. Ekepwa iya nanania ne eye luzuzu iya ya. He said we should give offering. Language is part of understanding. So the moment you discover that the Bible was not written in English, not even in the remote sense of it. English is about the seventh language to be translated to. The moment you discover that, you start to look at the language it was written in. Yesterday we were looking at verbs and some words and their past tense. We said arrive will be arrived. I mean past tense of arrive will be arrived. Past tense of, which one did I say again? Want, we wanted. Which one again? No, before go I said something. Eh? Miss will be missed. Then I say, what about go? Why didn't you say go ahead? Amen. Go is want. Went. I said want. Long by me. May I not disgrace my secondary school? Go is went. It will take you language to understand that. looking at the word genao anothen. Born again. The word genao is spelled G-E-N-N-A-O. G-E-N-N-A-O. There's nothing special about it. It means to be born. To give birth, which we're going to look at very well in the afternoon session. How are we born of God? How did he do that? You know, so it means to be born, to reproduce, to bring something forth. Anothen is where the marker is. Anothen is what makes the difference. Now, it says the word again is the word anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N. And we said that word is not used for repetition. You know, when you hear again sometimes might mean to you, come again, or go there again. Mm-mm. This time around, it's not about repeating something. It means above. It means top. It means, and we look at it from the resurrection story, the veil of the temple was torn from, again, from the top. From the top. John said it in John 3:31, he that is from above, is above all. Of course, the words, the second above, epano, is different. E-P-N-A-O. That one is different. He that is from above, that is the again, another thing, is above all. Is upon all. So again, you must be looking at words. Except a man be born again. So we are asking, just like Nicodemus asked in verse 4, how can a man? Yesterday we called it intelligence question. But after that we now discover that it might not be intelligent after all. Amen. Say, how can a man go back to his mother's womb? Now, you know why I said it might not be intelligence question? Nicodemus is an Hellenistic Jew. Now, don't bother about that. Meaning that he is well schooled in Greek. Now, I had to go and find that out. I wanted to know about his background. Just like when we were doing Judas. Remember? Judas, a man like you. Remember that teaching? And I wanted to know what could have caused Judas' issue. Then I discovered that Judas came from a separate place apart from the other disciples. So, did he have inferiority complex? Did he have a dissociation issue where he could not mingle with others as much? We looked at all of that, right? So I went to investigate Nicodemus. And I discovered that this guy knows Greek. Not every Jew knows Greek well, but this one knows it. So whatever he's saying, it's either playing on Jesus' intelligence like every other Pharisee, or he's just being pretty dumb. How can a man go back into his mother's womb when he is old? It looks like a sincere question, but it's not. Because there is nothing in anothen that suggests again. That suggests repetition. No. Except a man be born from above. Are you with me? Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And some people have interpreted it and said, seeing the kingdom of heaven is on the last day. That everybody will now be on one queue. Something like that. So then God will now play your life in front of you. Did you leave that short? Amen. Was your life cut short? You just play your life like that and everybody will be on queue. He now show you that day that you came to church, that you are not praying with your heart. And so, he now show you one day that you stole. I went to boarding house. You will see a lot. Amen. They stole my mattress. How will I not see? Where will I sleep? Mattress. You write your name like this on it. Your son. And son will cut the clothes. You write your name on the foam again. They will cut your name out like this. And you will be seeing it. Adeshinyo. And he will turn the other side and write his own name. So, what else will I do? Shall I sleep on blank? Even Jesus recognized that I have to do something. Amen. So, me too, I will go to someone else's room. Ojo, Ojoko. If you play that on the last day, you'll just be laughing. So he said, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. No. That side, that word see is the word Eido. We looked at it last night. E-I-D-O. It doesn't mean physical eyes. It means to know. To know something. To experience something. To be a part of it. So it's not talking about one day you will see a kingdom that has gold and chairs and rivers of kingdom and trees of life. No. Come on. If heaven is seen with the physical eyes, then it's no longer heaven. It is earth. Heaven is where God is. Heaven is where God's influence is. And God has been before He created heaven and the earth. Whatever is bound by space and as matter is not heaven. So all those rivers and throne and giving that is in your head, come on. John was right on the earth in the highland of Patmos, and he says, I see the heavens, the Lord of glory. Is Jesus right here in us, in this place, this morning, with us and in us? And he says he's in heaven too. Are you not confusing yourself? Except a man be born again, which we have not explored. Because it means to be born from above. Abi, to be born of the Spirit, right? John 3:5. He cannot experience God's kingdom. Don't be mischievous and say, oh, verse 5 is reference to verse 3. Verse 5 says, we enter. I believe that's a lazy theology. When you're just looking for verbs, and you are picking verbs, you say, some people can see, they cannot enter. That's lazy. That's very lazy. Those are the things I used to say before that man taught. Amen. I just said, once I just see, I told you when I was in Ife, we got ourselves in hostel. Guess what we will do? We now call ourselves like 5 of us or 6 of us. We just pick one verse. I say, everybody go and interpret it and bring your own. By the time people come with their own interpretation, Allahu Akbar. One day, one brother, he said, do you observe the comma? I said, Jesus. So why did you put the comma here and not here? Because that's where he wants to put it now. He said, the comma means something. How can comma be your theology? He said, man, be born again, he will see. But if you want to enter, that someone can see something and not enter. No. Because you're looking at English. The word see means to already be part of it. I'm a part of heaven. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Hebrew says. He says, now welcome to Zion, the city of the living God. You are welcome to Zion. The man born again is part of heaven. Say, welcome to Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, to a company of innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn, to the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. We are in Zion. Amen. Amen. Come on, we are in Zion. Say, except a man be born again, he cannot be a part of God's kingdom. Nicodemus said, I don't understand. Will I have to go back to my mother's womb? Jesus said, I mean, except a man be born of water, that is of the Spirit. Now, he knows he's talking to a Jew. He knows he's talking to an Israelite. So he uses the word water. And that's why later he will say, are you a teacher of the Jews and you don't know these things? When he could never say, how can these things be? Jesus said, you have warned me enough. I've been answering your question. Have you met some people on outreach before? And they were asking questions. You say, okay. Then they were asking one, they say, if I slap you, you don't understand this one. Say God. So Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The word and there is not joining two things together. He's explaining it. Water that is of the Spirit. Again, you find that used. Look at in Ephesians 1, for example. In Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I beg. Is it two people? Eh? Oh, there is God and there is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How come you have never said it's two people? Because it appears glaring. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the same person. So, and sometimes is not conjunctory, it's explanatory. You need to find out, and you will see that in the context. So Jesus uses water. He says, except a man be born of water, that is of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. So we said, genao means to be born. Anothen will be to be from above. Are we together? Then the conversation went on. And Jesus says, verse 6, which we were looking at yesterday, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What an answer. Can I go back to my mother's womb? Then Jesus says, no now. The natural birth is what it is. It is natural. I am not talking about your body. I'm not talking about you going back to your mother's womb. That's a natural birth. This one I'm talking about affects your spirit. Except a man be born of water. That is, your spirit is what needs the fresh start. He cannot. Then verse 7, he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants. You hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from. So is a man born of the Spirit. Then Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel? You say you are a teacher of Israel. I just told you about water. I just told you about a fresh start. Being born anew from above. I just told you about the wind. Nicodemus. Nico, you still don't understand. So we said, that means, in the words of Jesus in John 3, are elements of the Old Testament. He must have said things that every teacher of the Old Testament ought to understand. How many of you are with me this morning? Come on, you are with me. He must have said things that everybody who has read the Old Testament properly, of course, I've said Old Testament, we just call it Old Testament. The words there are not Old Testament. At least not everything. Alright? So, he said things. And we said, that word wind gives it away. Where again do you see wind? Blowing where it wants. Where? In Ezekiel's prophecy. In Ezekiel's prophecy, in Ezekiel 37, we saw the valley of the dry bones. We saw the valley of the dry bones. And God's breath, God's wind, brought them to life. A new beginning. God's wind brought them to life. For a new beginning. And we were able to look at the scriptures and see what God planned to do for Israel. He said, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Behold, I will make a way in the wilderness and spring to come forth in the desert places. A new thing. Did he do it for Israel or not? They were in bondage for 430 years. Then he brought them out like nothing happened. Then he says, this is a fresh start. They were in exile in Babylon. Then he brought them out, and he brought them as a nation together. And he says, this is a fresh start. Then Nicodemus, you say you don't know what a born again means? Amen. But very importantly, look at Isaiah 44. You know how our morning sessions are, right? So get ready. Isaiah 44. Verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus hear the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, that helps you. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Can we verse 3 together? I will pour water upon the ground that is thirsty, and floods upon... I will pour my spirit. So you see that used water for the spirit. Again, was there a time that God was pouring water on anybody that is thirsty? Eh? You say, I'm thirsty. Then from heaven, someone say, that's rain now. Is it every time you're thirsty that rain falls? God said, I'm thirsty. God said, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. No. I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. He explains that. I will pour my spirit. So you see the clear use of water and the spirit. Huh? Just like John 3. How many of you are with me this morning? Alright. So, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. That is, I will pour my spirit upon your children and my blessing on your offspring. So I'm blessed of God. Of course, the blessing of God is the Spirit from Ephesians 1. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Are we there? We're going to read from verse 25 and 26 together. So that you don't join the bandwagon of people thinking that water is anointing fluid. Or there is water baptism. Pastor, don't go there. I've been believing you since morning. I've been listening to you. I've been listening to you for a while now. Don't touch water baptism. Who is touching you? I was baptized with water twice. The first one was good. The second one was in a river. So, Omiyenu, man. So myself and my friend, we said, if this has to be born of the Spirit, Spirit in Ga, River, Ibadan. He said, we should say our baptism name. Nothing came to my head. I wanted to say Peter. I said, he denied Jesus. I said, there's a Judas. I said, Daniel, you should have went to slavery. I don't want to be a slave in my life. David, that is issue with Bathsheba. In my head, in split second, I was running through characters in the Bible. Like, I said, okay, Adam, Olamide. Abraham that used to lie. He lied twice, and I cannot name myself Lot. All be my Lot. So, by the time I glanced through, I discovered that everybody wrote about their weakness, which is a fabric of God's grace. Every prophet intentionally wrote about how they are weak. David wrote that he slept with Bathsheba. He wrote it. Abraham told his children, I lied. Nobody was there. Amen. That's the funny thing. Nobody was there when he was telling Pharaoh that this is my sister. And he used that to collect money. Abraham's blessings are yours. Hope you know how to lie. And you have a fine wife. Amen. Just take your wife to Aso Rock. See, this is my sister. No strings attached. Take her. Abraham knew that God had a plan for Sarah. He knew that whatever happened, God will still bring her back. So he used that to collect money. Then God will not go and meet that man. So you are messing up with a prophet's wife. Man said, prophet care. Yeah, go. Take half of my kingdom. Abraham don't get rich. He did it twice. Businessman. Extraordinary. So when you see him on Forbes list, it's not the blessings of God. Amen. It's the Sadiq. Hallelujah. Is he our pastor? Member. Is he got 36? So I was baptized with water twice. So by the time I went through all the characters and I discovered that, it'd be like everybody get fought. I said, Enoch. And I remember Baba Deboye. I said, my name is Enoch. He did not die. I hope not to. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36. I'm reading verse 25 and 26 together. Are you there? Want to go? I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I wait? Can water clean you from idolatry? Eh? If I spray water on you, it will clean you from idolatry.
No, sir.
Where? Why? Because idolatry is where? In the heart. So look at verse 26. A new heart I will give to you. And a new... So how does God sprinkle clean water on you? He gives you a new spirit. Does that make sense? I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. That is circumcision. So God's plan really is not water. He only uses water to explain to you what the Spirit will do to you. So he will use water to explain the attributes and the work of the Spirit. What will the Spirit do? He will clean you. Water does not save anybody. Now that you are born again, you have to be baptized by water. Why? What will the water do to me? Now, if you're talking to someone who is not baptized, I'm baptized twice. And I have no issue with water. Water, you don't get any me. Amen. I have no issue with water. But you cannot say a man is not saved because he has not bathed. What did Jesus say? Except a man be born again. Simple. No buts, no ifs, no maybes. Be born again. He said, what does it mean to be born again? He said, a teacher of Israel, be born of water. Immediately, the Nicodemus sense, he's not meant to click to Isaiah, to Ezekiel. Is he not? You know, click. Be born of water. That is, I'm talking about the Spirit. God said, I don't understand. Jesus said, so water? Water? He said, water. John was baptizing with water. Then Jesus said, okay. If John was baptizing, what did he tell you at the baptism? He says, there's someone coming who is greater than me. What will he baptize you with? Come on, with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. So why do you think Jesus will be saying water again? John already told you what he will baptize you with. The Holy Ghost. So Jesus cannot be telling Nicodemus again that you have to be baptized with water. His own description is clear. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Are you here this morning? Alright? So, water does not save you. It is the Spirit that saves. Amen. John 3:16, I said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him and is baptized with water. Is that not it? That whosoever believes in him and is baptized with water small. Okay, he's not baptized, he's sprinkled. Whosoever believes in him and is sprinkled with water. Oh, so what is it? You don't know it again. What's it? Whosoever shall be saved. Like that. What if he's not baptized with water later? Is he still saved? What if he's not baptized with water? Is he still saved?
Yes,
so, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? But you cannot call baptism with water being born again. Being born again is being born of the Spirit. The moment you mention Spirit, you take away physical elements. Water touches your body. God's Spirit works on your heart. Are you there? Look at 1 Peter 3. Let's just sort this issue of water. Again, we have a teaching, two kinds of baptism. Is it? Two kinds of baptism. Yeah, two kinds of baptism. So, you should listen to it. 1 Peter. Peter 3. Can we verse 21 together? Once again, everybody, the like figure whereunto baptism now saves. Not the putting away of what? The filth of the flesh. But the answer of a good heart towards the resurrection of, he says baptism saves us, but I'm not talking about the one that washes your body. I'm talking about the one that comes from the resurrection. By the time you mention the resurrection, sorry, what are you mentioning? The Spirit. Because the Spirit was given when Jesus rose from the dead. Baptism now saves us. I am not talking about the putting away of the filth of your flesh. I am talking about your answer to the resurrection. Is it making sense? So, baptism, water baptism is good. But that is not the prerequisite to be saved. If it is, how will you explain the thief on the cross? So, Jesus said, I'm waiting on. Son of man. I want to save you. But is there a way, is there a shortcut that you can use to get down from this tree? Anyhow you can do it, let water touch you. Nah. He just told him, you believe in me, today you will see me in paradise. Hallelujah. Today. Hallelujah. He didn't go and do restitution. Yeah, thief. Sorry. What did he say brought you here? You stole ballot box. He said no. I used to kill people and take their belongings. Just say, out of all the people I died for, you are number one. See, you have to get down now. Go and do restitution. Return people's stuff. If it's restitution, you know how many people will return their stuff? We have to do boys' hangout back in boarding house. Almost stuff got missing. One night I came from prep, night prep, and I discovered that my beverages were gone. The first sign is that your wardrobe is open. When you enter the hostel and you see that your wardrobe is open, Oti Shele, king of boys, on the raid. So I saw my wardrobe open. I said, I told my friend, they with me, I said, that's happened. They've done it. Tonight it'll be bloody. He said, when are we starting? I said, 1 a.m. So, myself, I raided every... You are in body now, you are wasting time if you are using padlock. What did I say? Hey, well, you know what I'm saying? Padlock. It's fuck we are going to use to open. Padlock. Are you joking? Padlock. There are techniques, amen. I drank tea that night, One boy that was telling me that his mom has counted his milk. I said, yo, let her count it again tomorrow morning. It can never be complete. By the time I was done drinking, I could not go to class. I was purging. go to sleep with the amount of milk I drank that night. I just came home fresh. Amen. It's not that you can restitute milk. I can restitute it. But some people would have died. That's the truth. Some people would have died. How would I restitute to them? I would die too. What's not the point of restitution? What saves? The Spirit. What saves? The Spirit. What saves? The Spirit. Not water. If Jesus had to die and you still have to enter water, why did he now die? Let's just be entering water. There's no point. Let's just be entering water every time and we are saved. It will save both God and mankind. We want to preach the gospel. You just get to outreach. Carry pure water along. As you're just preaching, you don't want to believe. You don't want to, you go very deep. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, of the believe. What did he say? There's no need to start saying, as Peter preached. What's the time? Undoing with Josh. And if you want to be very effective, just, you know what people that do car wash use? You got to be dragging it alongside with your Bible. Yeah. Sir, are you saved? Say no. What told me, Lady? Amen. But what saves is the gospel. What says is the message of life. Like Ezekiel's prophecy. Son of man, speak the words. The dry bones will come alive. When you talk. When you say what? He says, say, thus saith the Lord. So, it is God's word that saves. It is God's breath, which is his spirit, that saves. Not water. Water was only used to explain what the Spirit will do to you. The way water will cleanse your body, the Spirit of God will cleanse your heart. And so, because John could not cleanse your heart, what will he now do? He will take water and cleanse your body and tell you, this is not the end. There's a man that will come and do the real thing. That's why when Jesus came to John, John said, what's all this drama? He said, you know you don't need this thing. What's all this drama? Let's just go straight to it. He said, I myself need to be baptized of you. John has been in water all his life. Then he says, I myself need to be baptized of you. He wasn't talking about water. He's talking about the real deal. Amen. So I'm born of the Spirit. Oh, do you believe that now?
Yes, sir.
So I'm born of the Spirit.
I'm born of the Spirit.
I'm born of the Word. You know, Ephesians 2:8 helps us understand. Say, by grace are you saved through baptism. True water. By grace are you saved? True small water. By grace are you saved? True faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. True faith. Faith is what saves. Faith is what saves. Not baptism. You here with me? Now, an instance someone showed me some years ago when I was teaching baptism somewhere in Ilorin. In Acts 2, he said, but Peter mentioned baptism. Don't worry where we're coming from. Except man be born of water, Abby. So we are looking at Jesus' explanation to Nicodemus. He said he must be born again. He didn't mention water. Then he says water and the Spirit. Let us be like that. We are trying to eliminate, we have eliminated amniotic fluid. Very easy to eliminate. Nonsense. Why? What eliminates that? Verse 6. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. Abi? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So natural birth is not in the picture. We are talking about being born by the Spirit. So now we are looking at baptism. Or baptism. Like some old Aladra would say. Baptism. Alright. Where does it open to? Acts 2. So, So Peter rose up on the day of Pentecost and started preaching. In verse 37, and when people heard him, they were touched in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, what can we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's surprising me that it is quite glaring. So what ear suggests water? I'm asking. Because the mistake is that almost every time we see the word baptized, our minds go to water. But that's not true. We just saw John say, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So that means there's a baptism that is not by water. He said, we'll baptize you with fire. There's a baptism that is not by the Holy Ghost, that is not by water, it's fire. Amen. Baptize is just a natural word, which means to immerse, to submerge something. It does not necessarily mean water. You cannot just put a word and give it blank check and say, this is what it means. No, that's wrong. Just like every time you see spirit in the Bible, it's not the spirit of God. Have you not seen unclean spirits before? Eh? So the man came with an unclean spirit. Why? Because God's spirit is clean. So again, you cannot just be baptized and just say it means water. Look at what he said now. Read it very well again. Repent and you will be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Sorry, if it is in the name of Jesus, then what will he baptize you with? Hey, men are gone. If you are sleeping, say amen. Okay, we have a full house. Alright, he said, what will Jesus baptize with? I want to hear it like you mean it. What will Jesus baptize with? So if he says repent and baptize in the name of Jesus, sorry, what are we expecting? Water? Spirit. And that's why I say, so that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do I know whether the 3,000 people that were saved on Pentecost were baptized with water? I don't have that information. We all don't have it. But what I know is, I know this one damn well. They believed in Jesus. And they were saved. Amen. Look at Colossians 2. You learning something? Colossians 2. Can we verse 11 and verse 12 together? Want to go? In whom also you are circumcised. Say, I'm circumcised. You know, we had a teaching recently, Galatians, right? I think the last part, that would be part 4 or 5. JC, they look me. Who will I look? Alright. We had a teaching on Galatians over about 50 tracks. So you can just take your time to listen to it, amen. Maybe one per week in a year, you finish Galatians. And we looked at that circumcision. You know, some people think you have left water now. It's circumcision. If a man is not circumcised, he cannot be saved. How does circumcision affect your heart? And so the church in Galatians also talked like that. We know we are not Jews, but some people came to us. They said we have to circumcise. Pastor, Paul says, who bewitched you? Who bewitched you? He said, are we bewitched? He says, unbury. Paul says, let no man trouble you, for you bear in your body the mark of Christ. He's saying the real circumcision happened when you got saved. It's in your heart. Don't say, everything is in our heart. Where do you want it to be? On your lips. It's in your heart. Amen. The heart is what God works on. Because that's what lives forever. Alright. Colossians 2:11. In whom you also circumcised. Look at what he said. Not with what? Look at your Bibles now. Colossians 1. Not with what? With the circumcision made without. So the circumcision that Jesus gives you. There's no hand involved. It's the spirit that's involved. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Can we read verse 12 together, everybody? Buried with him in baptism. Wherein also you are what? Risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him. He says when you believed in what he did and that he did it for you, he says you are buried with him in baptism. You also risen with him. So I'm risen with him. Some people are not sure. So I'm buried with him in baptism. And I'm risen today. You know what Paul says in Ephesians 2? He says, you were quickened together with Christ. When he was rising from the dead, you were there. You were there. He had you in mind. Everyone who believed in his story, he says they were risen with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You learning something? Alright. So, born of water is not baptism. John only used it till who comes. Why? Because Jesus is the one that what? Say it now, like you know it. Is that not what you are just learning now? Eh? Because Jesus is the one that what? So, John will keep baptizing water till the Spirit comes. Thank you. Till Shiloh comes. The scepter will not depart from Judah. Till Shiloh comes. Hallelujah. It's like you have a son. Now some of you don't. Some of you do. You have a son. And he's far away. He's not at home. So every time you want to have fellowship with him, you take his picture. Right? And then you are, my son. I love you. My son, I love you. Oh, I cherish you. Oh, you are dead to my heart. Oh, please don't take my sunshine away. What else? You are my sunshine. You are my sunshine. My only son. Then, as you're singing, you're always singing and romancing the picture. Then your son comes home. And then you still want to talk to him, then you take picture again. You are my sunshine. And he's sitting in front of you. Sure you not say that person has... Sure you not say he's a transgender. Transgender. You want a girl to go to Boy Scouts. Or there. Or there we engage. So, you cannot... You leave the picture, right? Why? The real has come. The real has come. So you leave the picture. You leave the example. You leave the shadow aside. The Spirit has come. Amen. So the Spirit has come. So now a man will be born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. That now there is the outpouring of the Spirit. Just like water. There's now the outpouring of the Spirit. So what God promised us is not water. What God promised us is His Spirit. So I've got the Spirit of God. And that happened in the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, in the afternoon session, we are going to look at a lot of details. I'm just giving a warning ahead. If you hear something that appears like you've not heard before, don't be judgmental. Don't judge me. Amen. Don't judge me. Just listen. You do well to listen. When I'm in any meeting and I'm taking notes, I take notes. That's all I do. Take notes. And I go over them again. Fact for fact. Is that clear? That's how you learn. Don't have pre-informed opinions. I'm saying that now. Because anything that concerns family, children, now people start saying he doesn't like children. How can you say I don't like children? Am I not a child of someone? Eh? Am I a child of someone? Are you not a child of someone? Die fall from heaven. Is God not my father too? So how can you say I don't like children? I like children. No? I just don't think they are cute. The way all of you always say. This kid is maybe because I worked in pediatrics for a while. It's not cute. You really don't want to know. Hallelujah. Until you work with the pediatrics, that's nanny and all these daycare people. Their children are not kids. It's because you see them once in a while. They are not cute. They are troublesome. For people who don't have work, there's so much what they call it? Mischief and entitlement for people who don't have work. Give me now your papa buy. Give me that. I want that. No, Nigeria. You are in Nigeria. You will learn. Sakpa BMSC. Evu. Hallelujah. Alright, so we said the spirit was given when? At the resurrection. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Are you learning something? So far, are we clearing Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus? How does a man belong to God? He's born again. Let's start with John 3:3. He's born again, which means to be born from above. That above is by the Spirit. Abi? That means there's something that will come from God. Above. It is by the Spirit. Nicodemus don't understand in verse 4, so you just have to say it. You know, there's a way you talk. And so when someone doesn't understand, just told the disciples, he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. He said, if he sleeps, sleep is good though. He said, Jesus, you don't know. Sleep is good. In fact, my doctor said, shut up. He's dead. Lodo, we'll be saying something you don't understand every time. Say, he's dead. Say, dead. Jesus is not just asleep. Then if I had said that, is that how you are going to react? Then Thomas said, sorry, I have one question. But that time he said this sickness is not to death. But he said that sickness is not to death. I'm not doubting God. But it's what you said. He said it's not to death. But you are dying. You don't die. You say, let's go. Amen. So that time you just say it expressly. Born again. Born from above. Nicodemus said, what's above? See, just I came at night too. Everybody's sleeping. Let me go home. You have to be born of water. Say water. Of the Spirit. Amen. So we have established that salvation comes by the Spirit. Thank you. John 7. The foundation is always like this. These teachings should affect your preaching of the gospel. You should have more details by now, right? John 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Hey, does this ring a bell? If any man thirst, Isaiah 44, I will pour water on the thirsty soul. Abi now. Isaiah 44 verse 3. I'll pour water on the thirsty soul. Then Jesus comes again and says, if any man thirst. Sorry, was he going with gallon of water everywhere? Everywhere was just going to say, you thirst, omit it. No. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes. So, how will a man drink? He will believe. As the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I beg. Out of whose belly? Who gives the water? What is the water? So out of whose belly shall flow rivers of living water? Because I've seen people, and you're praying, out of my belly, your own belly, This is your big belly. Hallelujah. The heart of my belly shall flow rivers. River in the same belly that shawarma is. Shall flow rivers of living waters. Ah, I bring it forth. Oh, shaka, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I roar in the spirit. Don't join people saying I roar in the spirit. What are you roaring about? That means I skabash. What's that? You speak in the spirit, you pray in tongues. Keep it simple. I roar in the spirit. But if I call you an animal, you will vex for me. If I say you are an animal now, you will vex for me. But you are roaring in the spirit. Human being, they roar. Olodo, by the spirit. Out of his belly, out of whose belly? Christ. Isaiah is in the background. I will pour water on the thirsty soul. Because out of the belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Can we read verse 39? But this is spoke of what? So you see that water was not the issue. You see that water was not the end point. But this he spoke of the Spirit. Which was what? That which day on him, that believe on him should. For the Holy Ghost was not yet. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. So when the glory of Jesus is in the resurrection. When you say he's glorified, that is in the resurrection. Now, that means in the resurrection, the Spirit was given. What is the Spirit in Isaiah's words? Water to a thirsty soul. You just say, come and drink. Come and drink. There is water for the thirsty soul. Thank you, Jesus. So when the wise man, the preacher said, as water is to his thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You understand now? Okay. He was speaking about the gospel. Alright. Again, the prophet kept saying, it's the same words. They were just using different ways of saying it. That's water is to his thirsty soul. That's Isaiah. That's Moses. That's Jesus. Amen. So is the good news. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus rose from the dead, the Spirit was poured out. Say, poured out. Poured out. So we are born of the Spirit. Hey, shouting verbs. I'm born of the Spirit of God. No buts, no maybes. I'm born of the Spirit. I told you, I said, Jesus did it and he showed workings. He didn't do it gra-gra. He didn't just do it and say, it is done. Mm-mm. He showed his workings. From Genesis. Through the prophets. Through the waters of Jordan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Till Micah. Till Zephaniah. As Obadiah was walking with Elijah. He was writing it. He's writing his story. Then Jesus became a man. God became a man in Christ. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was walking. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was teaching us the character of God. Then he died. And he thought that's the end. He was showing his workings. My promise, I'm doing it now. Don't say I did not do it. Hallelujah. He was showing his workings so that every man who believes in his story can boldly lift their hands and say, I'm a child of God. So that every man who believes in the gospel can boldly lift their hands and say, I have eternal life. He did not rip anybody. He did it legally. He paid the debt of sin. He paid the debt of the grave. And today we have eternal life. Hallelujah. So we are born of the Spirit. Go back to John 3. Is that not where you are coming from? We just explained verse 5. Let's explain verse 6. So, we've explained verse 5. Born of water. That's where we went to sin. So, some say, Pastor Willele. Timur Kwasi, verse 14. No. John 3, 5. Born of water. We've seen born of water. As water to a thirsty soul, that will be the Spirit to every man that believes. Alright, good. So born of water and of the Spirit. But look at what John 3:6 says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you are born of the Spirit. So every man born again, what do you mean by born again? It means you are born of the Spirit of God. You are born from that resurrection experience. The resurrection is not once in a year. It's a Easter. It's an Easter egg, Easter bunny. Kilo for kilo con resurrection more egg. I don't know why I'm speaking Yoruba. What concern resurrection and egg? I say we are alive forever. You are talking about eggs. Hallelujah. It's not once in a year. It's our everyday experience. It's our everyday experience. We are born of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, like Ezekiel Sammy. That which is born of the Spirit, that lives by God's breath, that moves by God's breath, that speaks by God's breath. He says that's spirit. That's from above. That's not earthly. Hallelujah. So let's put it in better line. I'm going to round up soon. Being born again, is it the same as being born from above? Okay, good. Is it the same thing as being born of the Spirit? Does it have to do with water? Are you sure? Does it have to do with circumcision? Did you just say that's nothing to do with water? I said, well, Pastor, which one do you want me to say now? As water is testy, so something like that. Does it have to do with water? Technically. Because water, the way water washes the filth of the flesh, the Spirit of God cleanses our heart. My heart is clean. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so John 3 will be born of the Spirit. So let's look at the outpouring. Look at Joel chapter 2. Now that we know we are born of the Spirit, He has poured His Spirit upon us. Like water to a thirsty soul. Like water to, he says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all that are thirsty. Are you thirsty? So in faith, as we believe the gospel, He poured out His Spirit upon us. John chapter 2. Can I read verse 28? I'm going to read verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. I want this one to soak in. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Again, dreams and visions are the same in that word. The same Hebrew word. They will see things. Supernaturally. So I see things supernaturally. No, when we say this, some people have not experienced it. They don't know what you're saying. But God can show you things that no man ever shown you. He says, I will pour out my Spirit. This morning we'll believe for it. We believe for it this morning. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. So, the outpouring of the Spirit brings some things to us. They bring some things home. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. They will see something. And young men will see visions. Visions are mine this morning. So, it means if we are born of the Spirit, if we are born of the Spirit, then we are like Christ. Because He is the first begotten from the resurrection. That means we can do the things He can do.
Don't forget, yesterday I told you, I said, by the resurrection, we prolong his days. That's it, yesterday? Because we have believed, he now gave us his spirit, so that the same Jesus that they saw. Look at, let me show you something. So that the same Jesus that they saw, he will now be in different places. Look at Matthew 26. I told you this is one of my favorite portions of the scriptures. One of my favorite. It has been like that for like 15 years now. Now, you don't have a favorite part of the scripture, so. It's just like, when I read this one, my heart does me ding. Amen. Matthew 26. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 62, the high priest arose and he said unto him, are you not going to say anything? Because they accused him that he said he would destroy the temple. Are you not going to say anything? Verse 63, Jesus held his peace. And the high priest said unto him, I adjure you by the living God. By hearing the living God, Jesus said, I have to talk now. That you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Then Jesus said unto him, you have said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, after now, he said, after now, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God, coming in the clouds of heaven. They say, the question is simple. Are you Christ, the Son of God? He said, I am. But not for so long. Because after now, by the time I rise from the dead, this is when they were persecuting him. He said, by the time I rise from the dead, you will see the Son of Man at the right hand of God. You know what that is, right? In every believer. In every believer. In Mark 16, immediately Jesus, after he told them the signs that follow the believers, the Bible says he was taken up from among them. Look at verse 19. Mark 16. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your outpouring is here this morning. Mark 16. Verse 19. So then, verse 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. You will have thought, oh, he sat on the seat. But look at verse 20. And they went forth and they preached everywhere. And the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. That is what it means to sit at the right hand of God. He's not a jobless man. What it means is that he is walking in them. The right hand is your hand of authority. It's the hand by which you get things done. He says, after he left them in the flesh, he was now walking in them. So when he says, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man at the right hand of God. They didn't understand. They didn't understand. They felt, the Son of Man at the right hand of God. He says, he's coming in the clouds of heaven. That's not rapture. That's what you are seeing now. In every man, in every place. When you take your Bible and you go to preach, that is the Son of Man at the right hand of God. When you say to the man who is lame, arise. You can walk now. When you dispel darkness and you cease confusion, when you tell the devil, get out, the Son of Man is at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God. When you wake up in the night and you go, Maru the Siambakolod, either Sapaida, Rimbodo Tidebodi Yanda Kashta, the devil understands. The Son of Man is at the right hand of God. He's showing his power. He's showing his color in all the nations of the earth. In everywhere. He said, are you the Son of God? He said, right now I am the Son of God. But year after. Just pray I don't rise. He said, but year after. You will see the Son of Man at the right hand of God. In every place. What I am doing here in Jerusalem. What I'm doing here in Galilee. What I'm doing here in Bethlehem. Will be replicated all around the world. all around the world. All around the world. Now, healing is not just happening in Jerusalem. Healing is not just happening on the streets of Israel. Healing is happening real right now. Healing is happening where you preach the gospel. In your streets, in your town. Healing is happening. Why? The Son of Man is at the right hand of God. As you pick your Bible, as you take up the mic, as you set yourself to teach, see the Son of Man at the right hand of God, walking in you, walking in you. The Son of Man is at the right hand of God because His Spirit has been poured out. His Spirit has been poured out. His Spirit has been poured out. So the things He can do, He's now doing it through us. He said, I've done great works, but greater works are you going to do? It's not because we are going to do more. Listen, the greater works is not because, it's not because we can supersede Him. No. The great, just not preach the gospel, but we will preach the gospel, that's the greater works. No, the greater works is because it is now multiplied. Hallelujah. He's not the only one doing it. You know, they have to bring the sick to Jesus. They heal our sick. Now, you don't need Jesus. You don't need to see Him. If they see you, it's enough. If they see you, it's enough. Is it not? Is it not? Can you not heal the sick? Can you not prophesy? So that means His activities are now multiplied in us. The Son of Man is at the right hand of God. The Son of Man is at the right hand of God. So we can do the things He did. We can cast out devils. We can cast out devils. No, you can cast out devils. I'm saying this one very well. You know, you actually can cast out devils. When you see darkness dominating somewhere, don't run. Don't shy away. I had a friend some years ago. He said, emoji. So as you were doing that, we went to Foko. I don't know Foko in Ibadan. So we went to Foko. And normally we used to go there. I think it was once in a month. And that place is dark. I'm not talking about Nepal light too. That place is dark. So in one of our encounters, a madman chased one of us. I think I've said before. One of our new disciples. So after we were done that day, we were able to rescue the situation. Then that my friend came to me and said, emoji. Let's let sleeping dogs lie. Mingba? Who is the sleeping dog? Devil? Peter said he's like a roaring lion. He's looking for whom to devour. If you don't go to him, he'll come to you. You are not his target. The church is. The work of Christ is. The devil has no issue with you having money. I laugh when people say poverty is what the devil is doing. He has no business. In fact, if you have you rich so that you don't do God's will, he will. He has no business with you having a good family. He has no business with that. He will give that to you on a platter. But he does not want to see the Son of God at the right hand. He does not want to see him coming in the clouds of heaven. He does not want to see you replicating the works of Jesus. But he has lost. Because this is just the beginning. What I say? This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. There's no defeat on our way. We have the works of Jesus. And we do the works of Jesus. So we can do what He did. Amen? We can cast out devils. What believers meetings ought to do for you is to strengthen your ministry. Every time people had believers meeting in the scriptures, it affected their preaching and teaching. From Acts 2 to Acts 13 to Acts 20, it affected their preaching. Don't shy away from the works of darkness. Boldly confront it. How can a Christian, you see things moving in your house, you know, things are moving suddenly. You're not cowards on one side of the bed. And say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What's Jesus? Why are you calling Jesus? To come and do what? He has poured out his spirit. There is nothing he wants to give you than his spirit. I say, I was not able to now shout Jesus from the sleep because you don't need to. I just say, Jacob. J for what? Judith. What do you want to shout J for? Yeah, I just want to shout. You're choking me. The devil is choking you. Hear yourself. Someone that his defeat was not yesterday. His defeat has been long. He's a known failure. He's a known failure. He has been defeated. I don't give any respect to the darkness. Because he has nothing on me. Nothing. Jesus said, the devil, the prince of this world came to me and he did not find anything in me. He has nothing. I'm born of the Spirit of God. The outpouring of his Spirit is upon my life. I replicate his works so I can cast out devils. You know nothing you can do? You can speak by the Spirit. Jesus spoke by the Spirit. He said things that man did not tell him. He looked at the woman in John 4. He said, where is your husband? The man said, I don't have a husband. He said, I don't have a husband. He said, prophecy to you, but prophecy to you, you don't have a husband. Jesus, you know. He said, you have said right. It's called a word of knowledge. Sometimes it doesn't come like that. It doesn't come in its full details. He said, you have said right. Because you have had 5 husbands. And the one you are with now is not even your husband. The man said, it's true. It's true. I can speak by the Spirit. He set the heart of God out. I can speak God's heart. Jesus dispelled confusion. He dispelled confusion. I can dispel confusion. In my words, a direction. In my words, people find clarity. They find comfort. And I live in the same. I live in clarity. In absolute precision. In comfort. So there's an outpouring of the Spirit. And it's with us today. You know, we can discern by the Spirit. We can discern. You know, Paul was going in Acts 16. And a small girl was following him. He said, you are Paul, sent from God. Paul said, shut up, you devil. How on earth can someone say you are sent from God? Preach to us, bring us life, and you say devil. Because we can descend by the Spirit. So, you know, who first did that? Jesus. The Pharisees came to him, said, you are the rabbi. He said, you. Wolves in sheep clothing. I see you very well. I see well. So there's an outpouring of the Spirit. He's with us in this morning. This morning, this morning, this morning. All over this house. In this room, there's an outpouring of the Spirit. There's an outpouring of the Spirit of God. There's an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I know things supernaturally. I say things supernaturally. I see things supernaturally. I heal the sick. I am telling you, after this meeting, some of you are going to see it expressly. No, write it down. You will say, I said it. You're going to heal the sick with so much ease. You know, before I used to pray and with so much ease by the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Son of Man is at the right hand of God. Oh, there's an outpouring of His Spirit right now. as waters to a thirsty soul. There's an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You're going to heal the sick. You know, you are above devils. What did John tell those disciples? He said, he that is from above is above all. You don't get it. He says above all. I'm above the devil. For all his traps, I'm 10 times ahead. 10 steps ahead. What's in northern? What are 10 steps ahead. Every time. By the Holy Ghost. I'm above. I stay above. I live above. Are you still here? Are you still here? Are your feet not aching? Is your heart not burning? I walk by the Spirit. I move by the Spirit. I'm above, I'm above, I'm above, I'm above. Situations don't set limits for me. He said, I would have loved to do more for God, but there's this situation that is setting. No. There's no circumstance that cannot be changed. There's no false report. There's no report that cannot turn around. I don't care who said it. I don't care who said it. I don't care how many years they say you have left. I don't care how much they say stamina. I don't care how many people have survived it. I don't care that emotional damage that you are going through. True. I'm above. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Does that not make sense to you? I'm born of the Spirit of God. So, you know, my only weakness is what God is weak to do. It's only the thing that God cannot handle that I cannot handle right now. He has prolonged his days through me. The same Jesus you saw in Galilee is walking right with me. He's walking right with me. He's walking. Money help, oh. Ha! I have serious advantage. I have serious advantage. By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is my advantage. 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 I move by the Spirit. I talk by the Spirit. I talk by the Spirit. I talk by the Spirit. I function by the Spirit. I'm not weak. I'm not weak. Removing pain is not beyond me. Like, I remove pain for a living. From this morning, I walk in the realities of being born of the Spirit. There's an outpouring. It's strong upon my life. There's an outpouring. It's strong upon my ministry. There's an outpouring. He's strong upon my activities. I begin to do the things boss power can do. I function by the Spirit. With ease. With ease. I function by the Spirit. This morning. With ease. I am born of the Spirit. And I can show the workings. Can you show workings? You can show workings. X equals to 2. You can show workings. I am born of the Spirit. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He has prolonged his days. That's why I'm here. Hallelujah. You know the reason. You know the reason Christ is still walking on the streets of men. The reason Christ is still walking on the streets of men. They cannot see him. They think his name is Chino so. But the reason Christ is walking. He's walking. They think his name is Deji. But the reason Christ is walking. They call him Timothy sometimes. They send him on errand sometimes. But there's an outworking of the Spirit. It is strong. It is strong. It is massive. It is massive. It is above all. It is above all. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we still have some more sessions, man. Hey! Hey! When I think about this, there was a time. Someone came to me and said, I was going to die. Well, serious. He gave me 7 days. And I just laughed. I said, me. You know what? I know what God already told me I was going to do the next year. You now are telling me nonsense. Maybe it can be after that next year of that year. But I knew the next year already. So what are you saying? I am massive when I move. Show why me. Show this one why me. You know who you are talking to? I'm a child of God. I may not have any other thing in this world though. Well, you see that one is my advantage. That God cares for me. Don't waste your time. God cares for me. He walks through me. Sometimes it's not like I want it like that, oh. But it walks through me. Massively. Say with me this morning. I can't hear your voice. Say with me this morning. I walk and function in the things of the Spirit. I'm an expert. I know things supernaturally. I see things supernaturally. My senses are sharp to pick the things of the Spirit. I edify with ease. It's easy for me to heal the sick. It's easy for me to preach the gospel. It's easy for me to do God's will. It's easy for me to raise the dead. It's easy for me to pray. It's easy for me to raise disciples. It's easy for me. It's easy for me. It's with ease. Prophet, help me. It's with ease. You know, so for some people here, you might probably have not done these things before. Probably you feel that God has not spoken to you before. Don't let condemnation come in. Don't let the flesh step in. It's easy for you. God speaks through all of his children. And you are one. You know, we established that you are already born of the Spirit. Are you born of water and the Spirit? Are you born again? That means you are born from above. This birth is supernatural. And God speaks to all of his children. With ease. With ease.